All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. Sunday school, my friend. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter number 1. We're going to go ahead and get right into today's Sunday school message. Very important. And I'm just going to give you guys a warning. Amen. A warning. Just know that today's message is given in love. Some of y'all may or may not participate in what we're going to talk about today. But don't worry, it's the Bible. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Just let the Bible do its job. And if it begins to expose some things in your life, things you used to do, some practices from a long time ago, just know that when you honor Jesus Christ a little bit more, then your past, your liberties, things you used to do, you're only going to be that much more blessed of God, because you're showing God that Jesus is more important than your past. He's more important than things you used to do. So with that said, let's open up with a word of prayer. God, I thank you for today's message. I pray that you bless our church with the Sunday school message, Lord. I just pray that they would look to Jesus Christ, the man who hung on that cross to pay for their sins, the man who shed his blood to pay for their sins, the man who was beaten to pay for their sins, to be more important than anything this world has ever taught them, has ever showed them. And God, I pray that you would be glorified, so that way you can raise up this next generation of people to carry on the message of the gospel, Lord, if so be that you tarry until you come back for the church. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 1, my friend, let's start reading together in verse number 3 through 4. Today's message is titled, The Devil's Eggs versus the Cross of Christ. Today I'm going to teach you about Easter, and I'm going to show you from the Bible why it is at church we don't do a lot of things, a lot of traditions, and that's okay. That's okay. We just do it because we want to honor God. And if today's lesson begins to stir you up, to teach you something that you didn't know before, I just want you to know that Jesus is better than Easter eggs. Jesus is better than an Easter egg bunny, and Jesus is better than anything this world has to offer you. And today I hope that you will be that much more in love with him. So let's read together. Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse number 3. Bible says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." Okay, now let's read Galatians chapter 4, verse 8 through 11. Galatians 4, verse 8 through 11. The Bible says, "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God," or rather are known of God, I'm sorry, let me reread that again. Verse number 9. "But now, after that ye have known God," or rather are known of God, "how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years." Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse number 24 through 25. Galatians 5, 24 through 25. The Bible says, "If you are a Christian," here's the good news, "they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." And then one more, Galatians chapter 6, all the way down here to verse number 14. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." I just want to remind everybody here today, friend, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ was God who was manifest in the flesh, who came to take away our sins. Everything this world has taught you or exposed to you or shown you or offered you in some form or portion of happiness or joy or satisfaction is nothing compared to the Son of God. Today I'm going to teach you another lesson on the importance of Jesus Christ and why he should be your satisfaction and not the things of this world. What we're going to talk about is also another reason why our church might not grow numerically, because today's generation of people, they're not satisfied with just Jesus and the Bible. This generation desires and craves entertainment. They want more shows. They want more visual aids. They want free food. They want parties. They want programs. And they want video games. We no longer live in the generation where a long time ago, when you read the book of Acts, Christians, you know what they did? They met every day. They fellowship in the temple. And they were eager and happy and excited to learn the Bible from the apostles. Before Facebook, before Instagram, before MySpace, before social media, before all the things that you and I have today, all they had was Jesus and the Bible, and that kept children, teenagers, adults happy and satisfied. They could care less of their past observations and their past cultures and celebrations because their belief in a man who died and rose from the dead would prove to them that he is true and that his God is true and that there's nothing that they could gain from the world that is better than what that man offered them. So now, my friend, here it is, the Easter message. Would you do me a favor and look with me to the church website? We're going to click on study blogs here, and then we're going to go down here to the image, if you will, or the recent track that I created in discussion on this thing. So let's look here together, friend. Here we have a picture of the crucified man, all right? It's not an exact picture of Jesus, but you guys get the point. And on the bottom here, we have a warning about Easter. We are all familiar with Easter eggs, but you weren't familiar that it has a connection with Easter, a false goddess from Rome. You and I were not familiar with the Anglo-Saxon false goddess Estara, but you guys weren't taught that when you guys were growing up. And then, of course, the bunny, the eggs. You guys were not taught the truth that a lot of those things originated because of religions. People who didn't know the true God, they were celebrating a lot of this fertility of life celebration with offering of eggs and doing things with their bodies they shouldn't be doing to these gods in order to thank their gods for the spring season. You know, the plant life is coming back, things like that, but you didn't know that. But at some point in time in your life, you start hearing about Jesus, someone invites you to church, and you say, I want to become a Christian. And so what you're doing now is you're putting your faith in a man who died for your sins and buried and rose again the third day. But as you can see, the man who died on this cross, he has nothing else there. It's just nails and blood and a crown of thorns. There's nothing appealing about him. As you guys can see, there's no video game images. There's no logos. There's no LED lights. There's no programs attached to the cross of Christ. There's no entertainment attached to the cross of Christ. There's no DJs. There's no music. There's no loud, if you will, entertainment. There's nothing that's going to make you really say, man, I just want to keep looking at that. But that's all that God offered you. He just offered you his son who paid the penalty for your sin. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And he says, if you put your faith and trust in him, he will save you. He'll change you and he'll heal you and he'll continue to deliver you from everything else this world has taught you. So today, friend, here's why I want you to know why Jesus Christ is better than Easter. I want to teach you why Jesus Christ is better than Easter eggs, than the Easter bunny, and all the things from the past. Now listen, now forbear with me because you're going to have to hear a little history lesson. I want you to understand that you shouldn't intermingle the gospel of God with bunnies, with eggs, with pagan celebrations or observations that have nothing to do with Christ this year. I want to encourage Sister Anna and those who are parents to teach their children the truth that Jesus was God who died for their sins, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, and that Rome's Easter has no connection with God's son. I want you to understand that Easter has its origin here with the word Ioste, which is from the Saxon goddess. I want you to understand that originally Easter denoted a goddess of the Saxons in honor of whom sacrifices were offered about the time of the Jewish Passover. And the English word comes from the Anglo-Saxon Easter or Eastera, a Teutonic goddess to whom sacrifice was offered in April, so the name was transferred to the Paschal feast of the Jewish celebration. Easter is a word of Saxon origin and imports a goddess of the East, the goddess of Astarte, of whom sacrifices were annually offered about the Passover time of the year, the spring, and hence the Saxon name Easter became attached and associated with ideas of the Christian festival of the resurrection. Ashtoreth, or called by the Greeks Astarte, was a goddess of the Phoenicians, whose worship was also introduced among the Israelites and Philistines. You can read that in your Old Testament, 1 Kings, etc. You guys can see the scripture references up there. She's commonly named in connection with Baal. Another Hebrew name for the same goddess is Ahera, the happy, the fortunate. That's what Easter tries to make people, right, happy again and all that stuff. The last name is commonly rendered in the English version, Grove, but eminent Hebrew scholars think this meaning isn't supported either by etymology or the context. So both these Hebrew names, Astarte, when used in the plural, often signify images or statues of Astarte, which are said to be set up, broken down, destroyed in connection with the worship of Atari. There was such a dissolute licentiousness of the public prostitutes of both sexes that were regarded as consecrated to her. As Baal or Baal denotes the astrological mythology of the East, the male star of fortune, the planet Jupiter. So Ashtoreth signifies the female star of fortune, the planet Venus, as the opinion that Baal designates the sun, Ashtoreth the moon. Ashtoreth, the moon goddess of the Phoenicians, representing the passive principle in nature, their principal female deity. What does that mean? The female goddess. She's frequently associated with the name of Baal, the sun god, their chief male deity. These names often occur in the plural, Ashtoreth or Baalim, probably as indicating either different statues or different modification of the deities. This deity is spoken of as Ashtoreth of the Zidonians. She was Ishtar of the Akkadians and Astarte of the Greeks. There was a temple of this goddess among the Philistines in the time of Saul. Under the name of Ishtar, she was one of the great deities of the Assyrians. The Phoenicians called her Astarte. Solomon introduced the worship of this idol back there in 1 Kings chapter number 11. Jezebel's 400 priests were probably employed in its service in 1 Kings 18. She was also called the Queen of Heaven. Our star, they say, the Greek Aster, the Latin Stella. Remember in Spanish, how do you call it? What is a star in Spanish? Estrella. There you have it right there. Her worship was most licentious and abominable, closely connected with that of, again, that female goddess we're learning about. The bringing out of the Asherah from the house of the Lord and the cutting down such a symbol, not a grace in our sense. The active and passive powers of nature, generative and receptive, suggested male and female deities, Baal and Ashtoreth. The ewes of a flock were called Ashtoreth on this principle, propagating the flock. And then lastly, eggs. What do eggs have to do with the celebration of Easter? Eggs are an obvious and archetypal symbol of fertility and new life. So you young boys in school, they're going to teach you this because now the world and public education, the government wants to teach you about sex and gender and all that silliness. But there's a sperm comes from the man. There's an egg comes from a woman. When that little egg gets into that egg of the woman, you pop 9 months later. So eggs are a symbolic, if you will, symbol connected to fertility and new life. So these cultures and these people long times ago, that's when they began to use these eggs to connect with their goddess worship. Hence, generally increase their laying in spring, leading to an even firmer connection of the egg with the resurgence of life in the world. The Romans sacrificed eggs to Ceres, the goddess of agriculture. And eggs featured in various creation series in ancient Egyptian, Hinduism, Finnish mythologies. All of this makes it to no surprise that the symbolism of the egg would attach itself to the vernal equinox and by extension to the later Easter holiday. And that's a quote from that book this lady wrote, The Mystery Goddess Who Gave Easter Its Name. So what's the point? I just have a question, friend. What does the devil's eggs have with the cross of Christ? What connection is there between the devil's eggs and the cross of Christ? Nothing. Nothing. But why do believers, if you will, from that time of antiquity to now, why do they want to promote the resurrection Sunday with Easter eggs? Why do they want to allow a collaboration of an Easter bunny or, if you will, all these things to try to appeal to the masses? Well, the reason is because they want to appeal to that. They want to appeal to the celebrations. They want to appeal to the cultures. They want to tell the world out there, hey, world, we have enough Jesus, and we're willing to welcome Baal if you come on the inside, and everything is going to be okay. But that's going to be unfortunate because what they're telling their children is that man who hung on that cross is insufficient for their joy and their happiness, and that's why they need the eggs. That's why they need the entertainment. That's why they need the free food, the free games, et cetera, et cetera. But see, this kind of teaching and preaching is not very popular, Brother Carlos. We're not going to really grow a church if we keep telling people that their past culture and their past traditions are not important anymore. That's absolutely right. Because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, the Bible says. In him is the sufficiency of all wisdom, Colossians 2 tells you. And if you're in him, you know what he says? Ye are dead, Colossians chapter 3. So if you're in Christ and you're dead with Christ and he's your life and your hope, then you have no more connections with this world. But here's what happens. Believers have a little bit of light, and they like a little bit of darkness to make it lukewarm and make it feel good to the appeal to the people out there to come on in here. But do you guys know that there ain't going to be none of this in heaven? We're not going to have Easter eggs in heaven. We're not going to have the celebrations of this stuff in heaven. You're not going to have rated R movies in heaven. You're not going to have all those things from this world up there. So if you're not going to have it up there, then why don't we welcome it in here? Why do the brethren welcome it into their church? Why do they appeal and all their flyers out there to say, Come on, come on, Saul, everybody, free donuts, Easter eggs for all the kids. It's going to be fun. Oh, yeah, and that guy on the cross, he's a little important, you know. We're going to mix in Jesus with a little bit of that, and that's unfortunate. So now let's go and turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians, the third chapter. Let's read together, starting in verse number 1. This is the Easter message. Amen. We're going to give it to you a little earlier, all right, now. And a friend asked me the other day, hey, brother, why do Christians have a Resurrection Sunday? I said, I'm not sure, brother. I think it's just tradition, you know, the liberties of each church of how they want to administer services and titles and modern things. But I celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every day. Anybody here? But every Sunday we come here because we gather because Christ rose on the first day of the week. That's Sunday. Amen. So there's no problem. I told him it's just modern things. You're not going to read Paul or Peter or James, having an evangelistic outreach with Resurrection Sunday. Come on, come all, free donuts. You're not going to read that in the Bible. That's a recent thing, modern thing, and that's all right. Those brothers are going to do their thing. They're going to have to give an account to God. But again, if Christ is sufficient, he should be, then let him be in your life. Teach your children. Tell them that Jesus is all right. He's enough for them. He's enough for their joy, their happiness, and yours. Now listen, Colossians 3, verse 1. The Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. This week, I just want to ask you in your heart, you don't have to answer out loud, I just want you to answer with me, how much time have you sought God? How much time did you seek Jesus Christ who's up there versus the things that are down here? How much time did you entertain for the television, the social media on your smartphone, the video games down here, the family over here, the friends over here, the parties over there? How much time did you set your affection on things below versus where God wants you to be setting them on a daily basis, up there? Verse number 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The Bible says, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. All right, now let's go to chapter number 2, one chapter to the left. Why is Jesus sufficient, Brother Carlos? I'll tell you why. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, for in him, speaking of Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And look at here, verse number 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So Jesus is sufficient for you. Jesus Christ is sufficient for your joy. He's sufficient for your happiness. He's sufficient for your love and for your wisdom, for your understanding, and most importantly, for your acceptance with God the Father. You don't need Jesus plus eggs. You don't need Jesus plus an Easter bunny. You don't need Jesus plus the past cultures and flags and tradition here and politics there. No, Jesus, the man who hung on that cross, is sufficient for you. That's what the Bible says. So now if you become a Christian, here's what happens. You die to the old man and you're raised a new man. That's what baptism symbolizes, right? And when you get that new creature, if you will, that new heart that God creates within you, you are completely separate from the world as it pertains to a relationship between you and the Father. So if you and the Father now are on this new level of relationship and fellowship, why are we trying to have one hand in heaven and one hand on the earth? Why do we try to hang on to God and light, but God, I still like a little bit of this darkness down here. It just feels good. He doesn't want you to be dwelling on that, brother. Now let's go to chapter 1. Why is Jesus better than the Easter egg and the Easter bunny and all my past celebrations, Brother Carlos? I'll tell you why. Once again, let's just read the Bible. Colossians chapter 1. Starting here with me in verse number 12. Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. So who created Lucifer? Jesus. Who's stronger than Lucifer? Jesus. Who created those devils? Jesus. Who's stronger than devils? Jesus. Who created the invisible and the invisible principalities and powers? Jesus. So the more that you're focused on Jesus and the less that you're focused on the principalities and the powers and the darkness and the rulers of all that evil stuff that you like to keep entertaining on YouTube and social media, no wonder why there's a battle. No wonder why there's a little half-hearted between you and your dedication to God, because you know your Savior overcame all of them and you have an affinity for the darkness and the powers and the secret things of the counsels of this world. But you have him all. You have all of that in Christ. The Bible says here that all things were created by him and for him. So I don't care who the Antichrist is. I have the real Christ. I don't care who the secret nations are going to be in the last times of the tribulation. I'm not going to be here. I don't care about the whatever my culture did back in the days, years ago, celebrations, false gods, my forefathers running butt naked out there in the wilderness, sacrificing fools and kidnapping women and doing, I don't care. I'm in Christ. I'm a new creature. God killed the old man nature in me. He buried that with him on the cross. He raised me a new man. My identity is up there. It's not down here. But my problem is, brethren, I have a heart that I want to have a hand on him up there, and I still want to have a hand on things down here because it just feels good. I like being accepted with family and friends that want to celebrate this and want to honor that and culture here and culture here. I don't want to be isolated, Brother Carlos. It doesn't feel good when you're not in it and with it with everyone else. I understand. So I must confess to you, it doesn't feel good when you're alone. It doesn't feel good when you're no longer liked or you're no longer appreciated by family or friends who don't know the one that you know, and they're not known of him because now in Christ you're known of him. We read that earlier in Galatians. But can I remind you, friend, you're not alone. The Bible says that Jesus Christ will never leave you nor forsake you, Hebrews chapter 10. He'll never leave you. You're not alone. The Holy Spirit of God, once you got saved, brother, he sealed you, and he's going to keep you and preserve you to the day of redemption. You're not alone. You're not alone. But what happens is, even though positionally, spiritually, you're in him up there, you're up there seated in heavenly places in Christ, your heart is down here. That's what makes you feel like you're alone. It's your mind trying to play tricks on you, trying to tell you, oh, you truly don't have that fellowship up there. And because you're setting your affection on things of the earth, the family, the friends, the party, the social, and all that stuff. I'm just telling you, Jesus is better. Let me share with you two places before we close for the Sunday school message on how people a long time ago, just like you and I, how they were willing to forsake the past for the new. Let's look at Acts chapter 19. I just want to encourage you, friend, that if they could do it then, you could do it today. If these people who got saved a long, long time ago, who lived in the first century, second century back in these days, they were surrounded by idols and they were surrounded by entertainment of their day. They may not have had the social media like you do, internet like you do, but they had the gods, they had the pleasure, they had the parties, they had family, they had friends just like you do. And if they were willing to trust in that man, they were willing to believe in the gospel of that man who died and rose again, and they were willing to say, we don't want that anymore because we want him more, you can do the same thing today. Look with me in Acts chapter 19, starting in verse number, let's go here to verse number 16. Here we have Paul, an apostle. He was doing great things. He cast out a devil out of somebody who was physically possessed, and that was an amazing supernatural thing that everybody saw, and they got scared. They want to know who the power is in that man who cast out the power in the other man. And look at what it says in verse 17. This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now listen, because of that, many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together, burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. How awesome. They were willing to say, man, Paul, your God, the one that you're telling us about, Jesus, he rose from the dead. You demonstrated it in power. You cast the devil out of that guy. That God is more real than this video game over here, than this statue over here, than this picture over here, than this over here, whatever we had over here. Man, we are willing to say this is no longer real. We are willing to give it up for that God up there because he's real. This isn't. A long time ago, I'm not sure about you guys, but growing up in a Mexicano culture and the Chicano culture, it was really cool to have an Aztec calendar in your room for some reason. It was cool to have a dream catcher on your bed for some reason. It was cool to have, if you will, the gang attire with different bandanas, blue and red, and whatever the case might be, to affiliate between your little tribal cultural mindset of the first life identity. But then after I became a Christian, here's what I did, brothers. I got that Aztec calendar, and I smashed that thing, and my mom was like, whoa, what are you doing? I said, because this isn't real anymore. God is real. The Bible's real. I don't need that over here. I don't need this over here. And then little by little, the Lord began to purify me from all the other things, you understand? But if they were able to do it then, you're able to do it now. You're able to say, hey, Brother Carlos, you know what? Man, Jesus, you're right. Jesus, he should be more important. Here's the thing that I used to do. Here's all the time I wasted with this. Here's my money over here for this, the gods over here, the celebrations over there, the parties and the games and all that. You're right, Jesus, and he's real. He's way more real. And watch how you'll grow. Watch how you'll benefit because you're willing to let go a little bit more of the mental connection and affinity to the things that are down here so that way you can let your new identity up there become more prevalent down here. Let me share with you one more before we close. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I just have another question, friend, before we close for Sunday school. Who are you following after? Who are you following after? Whose conduct are you trying to emulate as a Christian? Because that's what's going to be your example, and that's how far you're going to go. So if you have good Christians that are leading by example, then keep following. Amen. I just want to show you one more example of Gentiles, just like you and I, not Jews by birth. They had the gods, they had the entertainments, they had everything that you and I have without the technology. And yet when the Christian apostles went over there, they preached Christ unto them, they lived in a manner before them, they had a conduct before them, and they became followers of that. I just want you to see what that ended up causing them to do later in their life. Now watch this, verse number 6. The Bible says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Now listen. And how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So, Christian friend, who are you following after? Who's your example today for Christian conduct? I just want to let you know, friend, that your personal belief systems, your methodologies, your convictions, and your standards, it's going to be a reflection of who you're following after. So if it's still a little bit of the politics, if it's a little bit of worldly celebrations, then that's who you're following after. Because here, in this particular gathering, in this church house, we want Christ to have the preeminence here, not the world. Out there in your home, with your family, with your friends, the choice is up to you now on how much you're willing to decide he means to you in comparison to their gods, their convictions, and their standards. But I will be honest with you, friend, before I close. You will not be popular anymore. When you begin to put Jesus before, you will not be invited as much anymore to the parties anymore when you begin to put Jesus first. You may not be called as much anymore because the fiestas, the parties, the drinking, all that, and all their honorings of their culture, you might not be as welcomed anymore because here's what happens. Your light is going to be a little bit more convicting to their darkness. But then, Brother Carlos, what about those Christians who do conform? Well, here's their problem. Their light, it just dwindled. They got the light. They're saved. But they tone it down enough, and they might put a little cover over it so that way the darkness doesn't feel it. And therefore, there's unity, and there's fellowship there with those brethren who want to conform to all those things. So in the end, what do I want to tell you? Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about man's approval. Don't worry about how much your family or friends might say, hey, you're still cool with us because, you allow us to have the eggs and the gods and the celebrations. I just want to remind you in love. Here's what Paul said, and I'll share this last thing. You can just look up to the screen. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 10. Here's what he learned a long time ago that I think if you start learning now, you're going to be a more bold Christian witness. He said, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So there's two people you have before you who you want to please. You can either please God by taking this book and saying, Lord, I'm going to do my best to align my life with him. Or you can please men. You're going to have to put this away to be conforming to them, the world, and you're going to displease the one or the other. So today, friend, who died for you? Jesus. Who rose again from the dead for you? Jesus. I'd rather please him. Them bunnies, they're going to die. The eggs, they're going to go away. And brother and sister, if you really want that chocolate, wait until the day after. They're going to go on sale. Anybody out there, amen? Y'all can do that. Get them on sale. Don't pay inflation right now, amen? Y'all can do that. You have the liberties. But until then, put Christ first. It's all right. It's all right. Let them know, hey, Jesus is a little bit more important to me. I'm going to hang out. I'll eat the taco, but I'm not going to partake in that thing. Christ means more to me than that. So in the end of the day, friend, I just want to share that with you. That's the Easter message. All right, Father, we thank you for the Sunday school message, Lord. Lord, I know a lot of our brethren, Lord, I know they're still babes. I know a lot of people are still growing different levels in their walk with you of understanding how they ought to respond to Bible and teaching, and they're doing their best, God. So I just pray that you'd strengthen each of these members to do their best to respond to the light, God, as they are hearing it, as they're studying it, God, and as much as their heart desires, Lord. Would you please protect them, though, God, from all the philosophy that's out there, all the world that's out there that tries to steal away their heart from you, Lord, from the devil's deception, whether it's to the public education, maybe it's some of their friends at school, maybe it's even some of their family members, God, who just say, man, God's not that important, the Bible's not that important, it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that. Lord, I pray that today they would have a desire to find out what's okay with you, to serve you more in a manner that is acceptable. And I thank you ahead of time for what you're doing and all the members here, and I'll praise you ahead of time for their growth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, church, let's go ahead and take a 15-minute break, and then we'll get to Sunday school. Amen. There's some coffee right over there. Amen. May the Lord bless you guys.